You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Serious yoga students all over the world have used the teachings of BKS Iyengar and the 550-page book he wrote in 1966, which, by the way, is titled Light on Yoga. Iyengar celebrated his 95th birthday in December. Many consider him to be the most important force behind the global spread of yoga. Capital Public Radio's Gary Vercelli is a certified Iyengar teacher, and he recently interviewed an internationally recognized senior teacher, Ramanan Patel. Patel's background is in structural engineering, and Gary asked him about the hallmarks of this method of Hatha Yoga.
Until that point, all I had heard about asana was gently do what you can do. Nobody ever talked about alignment. This was the first time I heard somebody strongly impressing on alignment. And as long as the action was correct, he was not afraid to put force in it. So not only physically, muscularly, it was a good style. But then he went on to explain what is organic, how it affects different organs in the body, what to do with particular problems, how the therapeutic yoga is used. And he showed also how the props are used, different kinds of, really props used to be just home furniture. So all that was very different to any yoga I had seen before then. Amazing, almost magical, in that he could cure things that science had given up on.
Now, you had an injury with your shoulder in your childhood?
I had an injury probably when I was 3 or 4 years old, where I had fallen down the steps and hurt my shoulder. But I was a sickly child. And so even if I was crying, people thought it was okay. The village bone setter said it. And the effect of that was when I was about 24, 25 years old, I was hitchhiking around East Africa with a friend of mine. And one morning I got up and I could not lift a glass of water. And by about 10 o'clock in the morning, the arm was paralyzed. I went and saw somebody at Makerere University in Uganda, which was the only medical university in East Africa then. And somebody who was on his sabbatical from Johns Hopkins looked at my shoulder and said, "It is such an unusual shoulder that if anybody says they can cure this condition, don't believe them. Maybe in another 15 years there will be technology to help you. Right now there is nothing. But you will get the use of your hand back in about 8 weeks." And yes, after 8 weeks, I got the use of my hand back, but I could not write fast enough, or I could not play things that required my right arm. And I had tried other teachers, other therapists to help me with that shoulder. When I met Mr. Iyengar the very first time in Brighton, we were standing, and he came and looked at me and said, "What's wrong with your right shoulder?" And I was immediately surprised that, you know, this man has had no benefit of any x-ray or anything. He already knows something is wrong. So I tried to explain to him what was wrong with the shoulder. And he doesn't like long answers, so he cut me short saying, "Yes, yes, we will see." That class was supposed to run, as best as my memory serves me, for about 2.5 hours. Instead, he carried on for 3 hours. Everybody was dead tired. And at the end of that class, he says, "Now you can lie down and relax." And then says to me, "No, not you." And he put me again in a posture called Sarvangasana and supported my arms, asked me to rotate out. And I wasn't there more than a couple of minutes. But when I stood up, it felt amazingly good in my shoulder. So he asked me, he said, "How does your shoulder feel?" And I said, "It feels very good." So I said, "No, you're not telling me how it feels." I said, "It feels excellent, marvelous, stupendous." And he says, no, "You're not telling me how the shoulder feels." So I said, "Sir, I'm not sure what you are asking. My shoulder feels better than it has ever done. What else can I say?" He says, "Your shoulder feels full. It doesn't feel empty anymore." And that absolutely amazed me, that not only the man could immediately help with the shoulder that some of the world's best authorities had failed on, and he also knew to describe the feeling. what he did made me feel for the first time that my right shoulder belongs as much in the body as my left shoulder does. And I think it was in that moment that I was completely sold on Iyengar system.
And you've said that the whole science of yoga could be reestablished through the breath.
Yes, I sometimes joke in the class that if all the yoga teachers died, which is probably not a bad idea because they create so much politics. But joking apart, if this science, if the knowledge behind yoga was to disappear, and the student only remembered that the whole science hinges on how breath benefits you, then it can be revived. Breath is amazingly important to the asana practice.
I know you've said something to the effect of if you feel a pain or a gripping or a tension, to draw an imaginary circle around that area and then to shrink the circle and send it off into the ethers of the universe. Something to that effect.
Some of these things come, and this one day came to me, that any pain one senses because of certain childhood experiences, one tends to exaggerate the pain. As an adult, you might not consciously do that, but as a baby, you certainly have. The louder you cried, the more attention you got. So my theory, may be right or wrong, is that the mind has learned to do this. And hence, any pain that I feel, I would exaggerate. If I draw a boundary, not I really, but I tell my mind that you decided there's a pain here, you go draw a boundary around it, even an imaginary boundary. Decide how big the pain is. And in your imagination, send the energy of the breath to that area. What I found with a large number of students is that definitely the pain will decrease. The boundary will begin to collapse. And occasionally, amazingly enough, it will completely disappear. Which means the problem may be there in the body, but it belongs much more in the mind. Having the ability to dissipate that kind of pain oneself without any external help seems to be what we call in California as empowering. Mm-hmm. Which I think is wonderful.
Now, one of the other things you've said in class is no guilt, no regrets, no... There was a third element.
No blame. No blame.
No guilt, no blame, no regrets. Can you expound on that a little bit?
In a yoga class, lot of tension is held by the body because the mind keeps remembering the past. I like Krishnamurti's teaching also where he says one should die to the memory of pain every single day, which would be extremely relieving. There is definite value in remembering certain things that cause pain so that you don't repeat the experience. On the other hand, simply hanging on to a memory every day and repeating it reinforces the pain. And only the person who remembers it like that suffers. Nobody else does. So in yoga class also the same happens. And no guilt, no blame, no regret for a long time became my favorite slogan in the class.
Ramanan, what challenges does a flexible person have in yoga? I've often wished that I'd be more flexible, that my hips would be more open so the poses would be more accessible to me. But flexible people have their own set of challenges.
Yes, flexible people are often a problem in teaching because you take a stiff person, put them in a posture, and they're likely to stay there. Flexible person, you adjust them. The minute your back is turned, they're back into their floppy position. The correct thing for the body would be to have certain flexibility along with integrity and strength. If I am to choose between flexibility and strength, I would always choose strength first, something that was also peculiar to Iyengar yoga. Until then, all yoga that I had come across was create more and more flexibility. But flexibility of a noodle is not what I would call health. So flexible people have their own challenges.
Ramanan, one of the tenets of yoga is to do no harm. And I know sometimes you've told me, you've seen me in class and you said, this is what I see, Gary, like I'm an accident waiting to happen. And then certainly I did injure myself. Can you kind of foretell in your students?
Sometimes I can, not always. I thank God when I can foretell. But yes, you can, if you are trained somewhat to look at it, just seeing certain misalignment, seeing person working more on one side than on the other, seeing the person breathing a particular way, seeing a person's eyes project a particular way, facial skin color, all these things do indicate that there is likelihood of an injury here.
Mr. Iyengar has said, "I break the body into 1,000 pieces so that the mind can be whole," or something to that effect. What's your reaction to that?
I respectfully agree and disagree with my wonderful teacher. It's true, at some level it's definitely true. But to suggest that somebody who can really work very intimately with the body therefore automatically has a wholesome mind, I don't think that's true. Otherwise, every athlete in the world would be enlightened.
I remember you telling a story about a student coming to your class, I think it was in San Jose several years ago, and he was like a track star. He said, "Yoga doesn't give me enough cardiovascular work," and you put him through something like 108 sun salutations.
Yeah, I told him, I said, "You know, if we go out and run on the track, you are used to running, I'm not. But if you're looking for cardiovascular work in yoga, come to my home and we will do sun salutations and we'll see how far you can go." And after, I think, about 18 or 20, he stopped and gave up because his arms were used, which he would not do while running. So I said, "You know, you have developed your muscles to do particular thing, and for that you are very good. But overall, if I look at a balance between your arms and your legs and other strength, you don't have that balance. So I can go on for another hour with sun salutes, whereas you stopped after 15 minutes.
Well, Ramanand Patel, you are a fountain of knowledge, and I thank you for sharing time with us today.
Well, thank you. This is the first time I've been on anything like this, so thank you.
That was Gary Vercelli talking with Ramanand Patel, who, by the way, teaches in the Bay Area and will give a one-day workshop this Sunday in East Sacramento at the Yoga Solution. We have more details about the workshop at capradio.org/insight. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Our senior producer is Jen Picard. Our producer is James Morrison. We had a help today from Cody Drabble. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. Our executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us.